The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
But war is an interesting thing, especially in our world today. Seems like we're at war all over the place, and yet war is not declared. War really hasn't been declared by the United States since 1941. But according to the Department of Veteran Affairs, over 15,000 troops have died in these undeclared wars, in these skirmishes. And even though war wasn't declared, there was death, there was destruction, there's pain, there's poverty, there's all kinds of ungodly things that take place, whether we say we're in war or not. And I'm saying this to you this morning because I want you to understand the Church of Jesus Christ, for the most part, is refusing to declare war. We're not recognizing this battle that we're in. Mm-hmm. Our lives are cushy. We're comfortable. We like, you know, for the most part, coming to church, nice, it's comfortable. We have comfortable seats. We have air conditioning. In the winter, we have heat. Most of the time when it works right. Thank God for Paul. He keeps working on it. But when we come here on Sunday mornings, are we really understanding the purpose of being here? Do we really know that, you know, it's not just a nice little gathering where we can patty cake? This is the place where we equip ourselves for the battle. Because the battle, when you go back out there, the battle is raging. It's raging in our society. It's raging in our families. It's raging in our workplace. And if you're not prepared for that battle, the enemy will get an upper hand in your life. But if you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you recognize the tactics of the enemy, and that's what we're going to, you know, we're going to eventually start talking about some of these tactics, these things that the enemy is doing in people's lives and how we can overcome. If you're not recognizing the things that we're supposed to stay away from as believers in Jesus Christ, listen, people, there are things on that TV you should not be watching. You're opening the door for the enemy to have an inroad, a way, a gate to come in to your family. Because you're allowing those things to come right into your house. There are things in the Scripture that the Bible teaches us that we are not to participate in. And yet, I hear Christians talk about it all the time. About how they're watching things, the vampire movies, and you know that I don't even remember the name of that most recent thing. What was it? Well, Harry Potter's one of them. Yeah, there's all kinds of movies and things, but the one where it was a series, a saga of vampires, and people fell in love with the Twilight. Yes, thank you. You know. Why do you want to fill your mind with those kind of things? I'm warning you this morning. You know, I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm trying to tell you, these are things that we must, as believers, stay away from. That's satanic. You think sucking somebody else's blood is godly? Doesn't take a lot of common sense, does it? Now, I have a tendency to sometimes come across as I'm being a little harsh when I'm sharing the gospel or when I'm sharing the word. And I don't intend to be harsh. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to warn you that this is a battle that we are in. Since I started this series, the enemy has manifested himself several times. If you've never seen the manifestation of the enemy, if you've never seen a demonic force manifest in a human being, you're probably going to just dismiss me and say, oh, that doesn't happen. But once you see it, nobody can convince you that it's not real. Because it happens. Satan is on the warpath. And it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you approach it, except for the fact of approaching it from a war perspective. But if you try to be passive toward the enemy, he'll eat you alive. Amen. If you came here this morning expecting to hear a happy, encouraging, exciting word, well, I've got one for you. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus. God is on your side. The enemy, according to John 10:10, he's a thief. And he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But hallelujah, we have an answer to that. Jesus, who came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Abundant life. But I'll tell you something to plug into that abundant life. Sometimes we have to see that there are things in our life that need to be removed so that we can receive the fullness of the abundance. I pray every Sunday blessings over this congregation. But let me tell you something. If you are not handling your finances properly, you're using credit cards to live on, and you're amassing debt, those blessings that I pray over you will be annulled because of your behavior. I believe God's blessings extend into your relationships, into your marriages. Yeah, if you're sitting with your spouse this morning, praise God. If you're the man in your household, rise up and be the spiritual leader. I'm telling you, there's blessings in that. But if you refuse, the consequences are refusing the blessings of being the head of your household. And your family suffers. Hallelujah! Our God is good. And sometimes the things that God tells us to do are a bit painful. Or at least it seems painful. It seems like we have to take steps that are painful. But listen, when you make the proper decisions and you move forward, the pain subsides and the blessings pour in. Amen? We got to take this war that we're in seriously. We've been talking about the origin of our enemy. We know, scripturally speaking, we can say Lucifer was his name to begin with. He was a light bearer of God. He was created as one of the Benin Elohim, sons of God. He rebelled against God, and he is now our adversary. His name is referred to in many different as many different things describing him, but we know him mostly by the term Satan or devil, adversary. He was beautiful. I don't know what he looks like now. I assume he's still beautiful. The scripture says that he comes as an angel of light. I don't know. Those are the kind of things that we don't know. We speculate on some of this. Some of these things that we talk about are theory. He was musical. He was a covering cherub. In other words, he was in the presence of God. And one day, he decided that he not only wanted to be in the presence of God, but he wanted to be God. He wanted to take God's place. And that was his downfall. And he was cast out along with a third of the angels. He was cast out of his place. Now, I don't believe that he was cast out of appearing before the throne of God, because we have scripture that tells us that he has done that in the past, and he's the accuser of the brethren day and night. Who's he accusing us to? God. So he has access. He just doesn't have place there. You know, my children have access to my home. And anything I have, they can use. They have access to my home. But they no longer have a place there. They're old enough to have their own place. And if they need to come and spend the night, praise God. But they don't have a place. Satan still has access to the throne of God, but he doesn't have a place there any longer. That's important for us to know. All right, we talked about the theories of the origin of demons, and understand these are theories. The gap theory. There was a gap between Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Demons are disembodied spirits of pre-Adamic race. That's gap theory. Evil human theory, that they're the spirits of all people who have passed away that are evil. Hallelujah. Fallen angel theory, that fallen angels are the demons. And I said I personally can't go along with that one, because I believe that angels have spiritual bodies. Demons do not have bodies, spiritual bodies. They have to have a body. That's why they inhabit people, to fulfill the lust that is within them. And the scripture says that when one is cast out, he walks about in dry places in this spiritual realm of the earth. And then when he can't find what he's looking for, if he was cast out of that vessel, that human, and they're not filled up with the Spirit of God, he comes back. Not only does he come back, but he brings some of his buddies with him. You remember the gathering demoniac? Legion! Hundreds of demons controlling that guy. All right. The last one was the Nephilim theory, that there was giants in the land in Genesis, and those giants were a product of fallen angels in relationship with women. They had children, and those spirits are the spirits of demons. I kind of subscribe to that one. Like I said, it's a theory, but I think it answers some things for me, to try to understand the hierarchy of the enemy that we have. One of the things that we must understand is that regardless of what theory you subscribe to, demons are real. Jesus cast out demons. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. The scripture tells us in Mark and Luke that they manifest in her. You know, I heard a preacher say one day that Mary Magdalene was probably the life of the party when she was demon-possessed, but nobody wanted to take her home with them. You know, when people manifest supernatural spirits, it's not pleasant. But it's happening. It's happening in our world. When the Exodus movie came out many years ago, Johnny Carson was the host of The Tonight Show. And he said to Ed McMahon, it had just been released, he said to Ed McMahon, he said, do you know what happens when you don't pay your exorcist? And of course, Ed McMahon said, no, Johnny, I don't know what happens when you don't pay your exorcist. And the drum roll, you know, and Johnny said, you get repossessed. Come on, it wasn't that bad of a joke. Johnny made millions telling it. There's some truth to that. Not that you don't pay your exorcist. There's some truth to the repossession thing. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I'm on a roll now. The thing we want to look at this morning is that our enemy is well organized. He's much more organized than the overall Church of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Verse 10, that's where we begin. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So, whose power are we going to be strong in? The Lord's power. It's not our power. We have no power. Not against principalities and powers. Not against these things that we're talking about. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The schemes of the devil. He is scheming against you. The devil, the enemy, Satan, and his cohorts know you. They've been studying you since you were born. They've set up traps for you as you've gone through life. They've caused things to happen so that they can have opportunity to accuse and create circumstances for you, for habits and addictions and all kinds of things that come in people's lives. But there's freedom in Jesus. Don't forget this. As I talk about this, remember, the power is in Jesus. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It goes on to say, stand therefore, and then he explains the armor. So we're not talking about the armor this morning. We're talking about the organization of the enemy. This thing, right here. This is, L.A. Marzulli refers to this as the handbook of the supernatural. I like that. Whether we realize it or not, these are ancient texts. They go way, way back, almost to the beginning. Well, we have understanding of the beginning because God supernaturally imparted to men to be able to write about creation. It was all inspired by the Holy Spirit. We must believe that this handbook of the supernatural was inspired by a supernatural being that we call God and the Holy Spirit. It's inspired. It's real. This is not just words on paper. This is supernatural. Yes, sir. This is not just words on paper. This is supernatural. I'm going to say this the way you're acting. Yeah. It's supernatural. That's all. Come on. This is supernatural. It's real. There's power in it.
That's right. Yes, that's good
when the word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, that gives you supernatural knowledge to be able to stand no matter what's coming your way. There's impartation of wisdom because the word of God says, if you need wisdom, all you do is ask. Supernatural. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you walk in the gifts of the Spirit because God ordained to send the Comforter for His people. Ha, what a God we have that He would entrust to men His supernatural handbook. And what do we do with it? All too often, we just throw it down someplace and let it collect dust. Once in a while, maybe we'll pick it up and read a verse or two. Glory. What we have to come to is the realization of how powerful this book is. The words in it will give you life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. All right, now I got to find visions again. All right, let me share with you what I believe is the hierarchy of the enemy and the way he is organized and his forces. Because it's important that we recognize that there is a supernatural world around us. And I believe that supernatural world is a dimension. Many scientists believe these days that there's dimensions. There's many dimensions. I don't know how many dimensions. I know there's at least two. We live in a dimension. God is in a dimension. It's a different place than we are. I don't care. You can call it supernatural. You call it heaven. You can call it whatever you want. But this place that God is in consists of more than just heaven. It's a supernatural realm. God's throne is in this place. And what we would refer to as heaven, where we all want to spend our life in the presence of God, is also the dimension that we're talking about. So we got to expand our thinking just a little bit beyond what we've always thought about heaven. Heaven is in this dimension, but this supernatural realm also holds everything from hell to heaven and in between. Have you ever thought about it that way? It's a different dimension than we live in. And the dimension that we live in, we have flesh and blood. It's a natural dimension. I can't walk through walls. But if a watcher or an angel, we would call a messenger, comes from that other dimension, they could walk right through that wall and come in here. You can't put up walls and keep demons out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Demons go wherever they want to go. The only thing that keeps them from going anyplace and doing anything is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we plead the blood of Jesus around the church. That's why we plead the blood of Jesus over our homes and our families. That's why we walk in accordance to the Word of God so that we do not open doors for demons to come in through into the dimension of our home and our family. You can't keep them out 100% of the time, but you can know what to do when they show up. Get out of here. In Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Leave me alone. In Jesus' name. Wow, I've got to move here. All right. Let us, praise God. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That we have to understand, that whatever is taking place in our life is not, if it's in a negative connotation, it's not flesh and blood, although many times it's manifest in flesh and blood. And yes, often we feel like wringing the neck of that person, but the motivation behind it is not flesh and blood. There's supernatural forces at work. It goes on to say, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Let's look at those two things. Now, first of all, we must understand that from the Word of God, there are reference to different heavens. 2 Corinthians 12:2, the Apostle Paul said, I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I believe Paul was talking about himself. I think he was making reference to himself, but other people think other things. It doesn't matter, but what he goes on to say does matter. God knows such as one was caught up to the third heaven. So whether he's talking about himself or someone else, the individual left this earth and supernaturally was caught up into the dimension that the heaven, that God's throne was in. So the third heaven or the throne of God is a place where God abides. That's the third heaven. There is a second heaven. Jeremiah 8:7 tells us even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. I'm going to read the whole thing. I just want you to know there, when he's talking about heavens there, he's talking about the atmosphere of the earth. So that's referred to as a heaven. There's a second heaven. The lower heaven, the heaven of the stars. And the Lord God, Deuteronomy 1:10, the Lord God has multiplied you and are you today as the stars of heaven in multitude. So those three, and I could give you scripture after scripture after scripture. Do your own study on heaven. Many scriptures that verify what I'm talking about here. But all these heaven, now here's what we need to understand is there's an inner space, this earth, there's an outer space, the stars, and there's a heavenly space, another heaven or a place where God abides. And in this heavenly place, this heavenly realm, there's supernatural things going on all the time. An angel sent by God to come and speak. He's a messenger to come and speak to someone. You know how quick that happens? Quicker than we can understand. Quicker than you can blink your eye. He leaves that dimension. It may be millions of miles away from our understanding that it happens just like that. This is supernatural. And this happens because you can read it over and over in the Word of God, where God sends His messengers. And those messengers are sometimes opposed by principalities and powers. Now, I refer to the principalities as generals. They're a rank, and they have power and authority. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, we see, and I'm not going to have you turn there because I just need to move on with this message. But in reality, it tells us that God sent one of His messengers to go and talk to Daniel. And when he got there, when he started to leave the dimension that he was in and come to the earth, come into our dimension, there was a supernatural power in the heavenly realm that opposed him. The Prince of Persia is what it's called. And he couldn't get past it until Michael, the archangel, a covering cherub, powerful being, came and helped him and fought for him. Now, this scripture actually, it talks about, and I believe it's verse 13, that it wasn't just that prince of Persia, but there were other kings in the area or other principalities that was opposing him. So one archangel, one Michael, came and fought against these forces and allowed that watcher, that messenger, to come and speak to Daniel. God wants to use angels on behalf of his people today. Amen. That's right. They're a resource, I guess I should say, that we have. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't use and abuse, you can't abuse them, but they're all around. They're in that other dimension. And when we call down the power of God in faith, believing, we set in motion the supernatural forces that we call angels to go forth. They're dispatched to go and do a work on your behalf. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if you're getting this. Hallelujah. Amen. Prince, he's a general, a master, a lord, king of Persia. Powers. Powers implying authority. They're officers. Now, what we have to understand is that Satan is ultimately in control. This is a totalitarian government. He's the dictator or supreme ruler over everything. So everything that takes place is according to his will, according to his fallen nature. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. And all these things that take place are because of his nature. When Dwight D. Eisenhower was asked to be the commander of the European theater during World War II, he said, "I'll do it under one condition. I must be the supreme ruler of all the forces." So on D-Day, when it came time to attack the beaches, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the lone person that made the decision to do that. Now, he had other people, other generals, other people that were very capable, but he made the ultimate decision. Listen, the ultimate decisions in the spirit world with demonic forces was made by the enemy, by Satan himself. All the demonic forces, they know his will and his desire. And they're about doing a work that steals, kills, and destroys. Both principalities and powers have access to all the realms. They have access to the spirit world or the dimension here in the earth that we understand as heaven. They have access to the star. They have access to I'm not sure that they actually still have access to the throne of God, but they have access in that whole area. I want you to understand. They come and go, and they're doing all kinds of things all over the place. Guard yourself. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job of it, but I want you to understand they're real and it's happening. In July of 1984, Russian cosmonauts were aboard the Soviet space station Salyut 7. On day 155, all six cosmonauts saw beings, winged beings outside of their spaceship, their space station. They said they were huge, size of airliners. The, of course, that's an atheistic, that was at the time, that this is a Soviet Union, atheistic society. And it was dismissed. It was dismissed as men who were fatigued and having a group hallucination. They described these beings, they had faces and bodies, they looked like humans. But they had wings, and they were huge. A few days later, three more cosmonauts joined that space station. Now, they actually, overall, they set a record for being in space at that time. Three more cosmonauts joined that space station. Within just a few days, all of them, all nine, saw the same thing again. So it was hard for them to dismiss it as a hallucination with new, fresh men coming on. These things are happening today so that we'll understand God is still in control. God wants us to know there is a supernatural realm, and we can speak to that supernatural realm and access the forces that are on our side. Hallelujah. It is good news. Rulers, as it talks about here, are world forces, their spiritual hosts, their probably supernatural, in the supernatural realm. They conduct the things that are taking place in this earth and over this earth. And then the last one is spiritual hosts. It's pertaining to the spirits, supernatural powers. It's ground forces. This way, you know, we hear boots on the ground these days. Well, we're not going to have boots on the ground in Afghanistan or boots on the ground in Iraq and Iran or whatever, you know. Well, these are boots on the ground. These are the forces that we contend with that are controlling this world, that are directly involved with human beings, that are possessing and interacting with humans. Know this, Satan is responsible for all evil in this world. He's the God of this world, and he's responsible for all evil. The Word of God tells us that all good things come down from the Father of lights. Good things, not bad things. In fact, on the day that Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, after Jesus returns to this earth, he takes Satan and he bounds him, and for 1,000 years, there's peace and tranquility and love and good things on this earth for 1,000 years. And as soon as God looses Satan, mankind once again rebels against God, comes up and tries to defeat Jesus Christ, and with his word, Jesus wipes them out. But the important thing I want you to see is that Satan is the author of all this death, destruction, war, everything that we're seeing in this world. We have a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who's concerned about his people. Even in the book of Job, when we look at the things that happened to Job, you must understand that God had a hedge around Job. Satan said, you have a hedge, I can't get to him. God said, okay, I'll remove that hedge. And he did. But God didn't have anything to do with actually bringing that negative upon those things upon Job. Satan went and did the dirty work. He always does. That's his nature. He's evil to the core. He's malevolent. He's evil. And when we know that we are dealing with an evil force, then that brings us to a place of want of understanding that we need not to allow those kind of things into our family, into our home, into our life. Acts 10:38 says, "And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." The enemy is oppressing people. But there are things that we sometimes have to denounce in our life. We have to condemn them. We have to renounce things, give it up. Anything that is occult, occultic, that you might be involved with, you need to denounce it and renounce it in your life. Now, let me tell you something right now that is happening that people all over the body of Christ are involved with, and that's the Pokemon phenomenon. You know what Pokemon is? It's demons, that's right. It's Eastern mysticism, it's a pocket demon. That's what a Pokemon is. Is that what you want? To have some pocket demons? All over your life, wherever you go, you're searching for pocket demons? God is real, but He warns us. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give place to the devil." Let me share with you Deuteronomy 18. I'm about to wrap this up. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to read it to you in the Living Translation, New Living Translation. Because I want you to hear what it says are things that God's people need to stay away from. Deuteronomy 10, beginning with verse 10. "For example, never sacrifice your son or your daughter as a burnt offering." Okay, we're good with that one. We never do that. Although we kill over 50 million children with abortion. What are we doing? Now, I don't want that to be condemning to anybody. I want you to understand, if you have had an abortion, God forgives you. He loves you. That's over. We go on. But listen, we've got to speak out against these things. They've got to know how we feel about it. They've got to know, more importantly, how God feels about it. He condemned the Israelites because they took their children and they placed them on the altar of Molech and let them roll into the fire as a sacrifice. What are we sacrificing our children to? Lust. Freedom. Our own selfishness. "And do not let your people practice fortune telling." Don't go to a fortune teller. Don't be a fortune teller. "Sorcery of any kind." Don't cast spells on people. Man, there is no place for a believer to be involved with spell casting. We love people. We'll stick the Holy Spirit on them. Amen? We don't need to cast spells on anybody. Sorcery. Interpret omens. Listen, crystals, be very careful where you get some of the trinkets and jewelry that you get. Because they actually speak spells over those things. And you take into your household, into your family, something that can be harmful to you. Now, sometimes people do these things ignorantly. I'm trying to warn you. Or engage in witchcraft. There's no such thing as a white witch. They're all dark. They're all demonic. They will try to tell you that they serve God through their witchcraft. They're deceived. They are really being manipulated and controlled by demonic forces. Anyone who feels that they're a medium or they have contact with a spirit that is telling them things or speaking to them on behalf of other people, you are being deceived by the enemy. Flee that. Get away from it. Renounce it. Denounce it. Do not give place to the devil. Or anyone who casts spells or functions as a medium or a psychic or call forth the spirits of the dead. We do not speak to the dead. And when we cast out demons, we're not speaking to the dead. We're speaking to demonic forces that need to be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, that's
right. We don't spend time getting any advice from them.
Yes.
We don't care anything about their desires. All we care about is that they get out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. There is a phenomenon that's been going on for many, many years that I believe is very demonic, and that's the UFO experience that people are having. And I back that up by a gentleman by the name, there's many preachers and teachers that believe this, but a gentleman by the name of Joe Jordan, who is the director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. The people that are involved with his network are not real happy with him right now, because Joe Jordan has 600 documented cases of people being abducted by aliens. And when he teaches them to use the name of Jesus, it stops immediately. That's the power we have in Jesus' name. God wants you free. Now, when I tell you these things, it may make some of you a little uncomfortable or a little upset, because, you know, maybe you have some jewelry or something at home that you come to realize. I had somebody come up to me and say that they had received or bought or something, an amulet that they were using. She was ignorant, but she found out that she wasn't supposed to be doing this, that they were using, and they were summoning a spirit that was telling them what to do. This is a Christian, okay? Listen, I'm just trying to tell you, people don't know this stuff because we're not preaching it. And in the process, she may have opened doors for her children or grandchildren to be manipulated and controlled by these forces. Thank God I'm able to teach her about the blood of Jesus and what she can do and how she can overcome this. And we'll stand with her. But these things are manifesting. But sometimes it's going to cost you. In the book of Acts, when the believers realized that these books that they had bought about spells and incantations and witchcraft were not of God, they gathered them up and they took them out together and burned them. And the scripture says, I don't remember the exact total, but the scripture said it was worth thousands and thousands of dollars that they paid for those things. It might cost you monetarily, but it will create an atmosphere. If you give up these things, if you walk away from it, if you denounce it, if you renounce it, it will create an atmosphere where God's blessings can come into your house.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Right. The power of God is released. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.